It seems like a long time since I've done this, like this. Margaret said to me, welcome back again this morning, having been away on sabbatical, which was great. And I haven't really had a chance to sort of say to you guys as a church, thank you for letting us have this time away from just normal everyday church life, I guess. And thank you for allowing that. 10 weeks off work, as it were, is a big thing in any organisation, I suppose. So just to really appreciate that. There's a lot that we experienced. We've brought our holiday photos from Philippines so that you can see where we went and see some of the things we did with some of the children and the youngsters that we worked with. So I'm sure Abby and Ella would really love to show you that. So have a look at those later. Experienced an awful lot. I felt God. I feel different. I'll be honest with you. I feel different having come back because I've had some time just with God and just experiencing different things in different situations, which has caused me to think about things and evaluate things and just see things in a different way. So really grateful for that. And I hope over the next however long, I said to Keith, I've got sort of teaching ideas from now, probably the next 5 years, you know, just because I've got ideas and that some of what I've experienced and learned we can share together, and I hope it benefits you as well, because that's the whole idea. It wasn't just a sabbatical for me, I was away, but it also be something to bring and bless you guys. So yeah, there we are. So today I'm going to actually finish off the series that you independently went off and did on your own and while I was away, and Daniel led the preaching about prayer. Was that am I right? I'm in the same church now, because I've been in quite a few different churches as well, by the way. I'm just going to have to remember where I've been and what I'm doing. And I think you looked at the Lord's Prayer, was that right? Healing prayer, and I was here actually when Emma did persistent prayer. So today I'm going to finish that off because something that God's been doing and speaking to me was about continual prayer. Okay, continual prayer. And so I'm going to start by asking you, what are you praying for right now? Healing, okay. Cherry's praying for healing. Me, okay. These are personal issues here. Any other things? Come back to the Lord, okay. Healing and salvation, yeah. Okay, some good things there. For youth, young people, okay. Glory, Rose. Spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. Glorifying God. Yeah. And let me ask you, are you actually praying it right now at this very second? Just, is this something that's happening now? Yeah, okay. Let's what are people praying? So, I'm going to pray now. Is that right? And then, as we're talking about prayer, it'd be a good idea to pray. So, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Pray this morning, enable us to sit at your feet and to hear your word. Amen. So I'm going to read you a couple of verses, and this is the launching point, really, from what we're talking about today. And some of it will encompass, I think, what we've already said. Some of it maybe will go into different directions as well. So I'm going to read to you from Ephesians 6 and also 1 Thessalonians 5. So if you're really clever, you'll have a finger in both of those things. If you're maybe even smarter, you'll just listen. I don't know. Whatever's easier. Ephesians 6, verse 18, which comes after all of those, the armour of God, if you know your things from Sunday school. You'll have memorised that, I'm sure, at some point. But Ephesians 6, 18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that you don't need to turn there because it's very short. It just says, pray continually. Pray continually. Now, these are challenging verses, are they not? I think these kind of verses are the kind of verses we're really good at explaining what they don't mean. Yeah? Well, obviously it doesn't mean pray, you know, all the time, every second of the day, because that would be impossible. Obviously, it doesn't mean pray while you're asleep, because that's just strange. I mean, how could you do that? That's just, you know, that's not possible. So we're good at kind of saying, well, it doesn't mean that. I don't know whether we're very good at answering what it really does mean if we're going to say it doesn't mean that. So what does continually mean if continually doesn't mean continually? And what does always mean if always doesn't mean always? But we're kind of good at that. And I just want to give you a bit of my journey, really, on this, a bit of my sabbatical journey. I'm going to give you two revelations that I had, and you may think, well, this is obvious, and it is obvious, but these are some of the things that I've been sort of journeying through when I had my 10 weeks sabbatical. And it started, I mean, I mentioned it, I had a conversation with Ishti, you know, my friend Ishti from Core at Lumen, the Catholic community in Chertsey, and we were talking about these, actually, the prayer bracelets, and how he and they use these bracelets to pray a prayer, and it just reminds them. It's not a special thing. It's, I mean, I could chuck it in the bin. It's not some special holy thing, but it's just a reminder to pray. And so they use these beads through the day to pray and to continually pray. So it got me thinking about this idea of continual prayer. I was challenged by it. So that's where I began. My two revelations, or two of my revelations on my sabbatical, were that God is everywhere. Okay? This was a revelation to me. I know we all know that. But having gone to the Philippines, and Shari and Alan and Ada will know this, that it's pretty busy there. You know, there's a lot of people in quite a small space. It's not quite as big as Hong Kong, where I've been to, but it's still quite, you know, you can't really get away from the noise. And whilst I'm in that, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I find that difficult to pray and to focus when there's so much else going on. It's a bit like being in our house first thing in the morning and children are asking you, can you make their prayer? But the revelation was that God is everywhere. In that noise, in this quiet, in my cornflakes, you know, in the sense, in everywhere where I am, God is there. And so that's one revelation. And the other revelation is going to kind of tie to that, and it came, it was reminded to me through a DVD that Liam gave me years and years ago for my birthday, I think it was. And I watched it once and thought, oh, this is good, I need to watch this again more properly, you know, when I had a bit more time just to stop and think about it. So I had some time to stop and think about it. So one of my things to do on Sabbath was to watch that DVD again. And the DVD is called Everything is Spiritual. And the revelation was, everything is spiritual, meaning that God created everything. So everything in this universe has some connection to God. And so in everything, we can live with God and experience God in some way. Yeah. Now, in all of this, I'm not saying there aren't special things. You know, when we come together to Catholic Church, there's something special about that. And there is something special about communion, for instance, and we meet and encounter God particularly in those things. But even in just drinking a cup of water, you think, this water comes from God. The very simple thing, or a cup of tea, this water and these tea leaves and this milk and this sugar are all things God created. And so there's some spiritual element to them in all of those things. So we call these things omnipresence, rather, is the idea that God inhabits the whole of the universe. Not that God is everything. No, everything is God, rather, because that's kind of a wrong idea. You know, I'm not saying that this is God here, but I'm saying that God is here with this. Yeah, and that God made everything, and so then really, there's no divide between what is we tend to divide things up into spiritual things and natural things. But actually, God made all of this stuff. So there is, God can be found in all of it. Now, I knew that intellectually, but I'm sort of, it kind of was dawning on me in a bit more sort of in a deeper way, if you like, while I was away. And because I think in reality, I don't experience God like that. You know, when it's you're in a busy street in the middle of the Philippines, you know, and you're thinking to myself, my goodness, where am I going to go? I'm going to get on this. They're called jeepneys, these forms of transport. If you want to know what a jeepney is, you can ask these guys. But it's pretty chaotic. And you're thinking, I'm just trying to stay alive, not getting knocked over by all this traffic. and get on the back of that thing without falling off it and paying my money. You're not thinking, oh, God is here. I find this quite difficult. I don't know about you, you know. Or I imagine sort of when Bryony's at work and she's got like a caseload of like 50 people to see that day, and then she's running late and there's already sort of 49 people in the waiting area. She's not thinking, oh, yeah, God is here. You know, she's thinking, goodness, I've just got this scan over and this baby's wiggling around and I can't get to it. You know those kind of situations where we just think, this is my life and it's busy and things get focused in and you think, oh, I don't even stop to think God is here. You know, all the suffering and the chaos of the world and the broken stuff, things get distracted and you just think, I don't know whether I'm thinking about God in it. I can know intellectually he's here, but am I experiencing it? Tell you what, as we're praying about ceaseless prayer, let's pray again. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Help us to hear your word this morning. Let's sit at your feet and hear your word. Thank you. Amen. So I think I have, and I'm guessing that you have, what is called a dualistic idea of life, in the sense there are sacred things and there are secular things, or there are holy things and unholy things, there are spiritual things and unspiritual things, there are Christian things and non-Christian things, there are supernatural things and natural things. We divide these things up, and we do it with the best intentions. We talk about having a quiet time, and then we have the rest of the day, which is effectively the noisy time. And so the quiet time is our time with God, and the noisy time is the time where we sort of like hope we get through it, and then we get to the quiet time again, that kind of thing. Or we talk about worship music, and we talk about music. You know, so worship music, that's sort of special. So if I'm listening to worship music, this is like God's really pleased with me. And if I'm just listening to music, well, that'll do. I mean, it's all right, but, you know, God prefers the worship music, you know. Or, there's things where, you know, like when I go out for a ride on my bike, I'm thinking, is this a particularly spiritual exercise? You know, I'm not thinking, oh, God created the metal that has gone into the component parts of this bike, and that now I'm spinning these gears. I'm thinking to myself, praise the Lord, I've got now 11 gears on my bike, and it's making... No, I'm just thinking I'm riding my bike most of the time, if I'm honest, because I have this split. I don't know what... Keith, you're into your steam trains, and I mean, that was a great... I love that, I think about the fire. But I don't know whether... When you're on your trains, I'm just thinking, you know, are you thinking, wow, this steam train really connects me to God? You know, I don't know. But I think on the whole, we do tend to separate these things up, don't we? Yeah? I'll be honest with you, there are many things in my life which are completely unconnected in my mind with God. There are many things where I give in my life where I give God no thought whatsoever, if I'm honest. There are many things where I do, you know, I do pray, and I do read my Bible, and I do come to church. I don't know if you've noticed, I am here now. And we did go to other churches while we were away. Just, you know. And there again, I'm separating this thing as if I have to, you know, to justify what I was doing while I was away. But there are many things where I think, I just don't know whether I give God a second thought. And I think my evangelical upbringing of this idea of having a quiet time each day, you know what I mean by that, sort of? Yeah, we must have our quiet time. And I think that's a biblical thing, because Jesus had his quiet time. Although if you read the scriptures, when Jesus had his quiet time, they weren't very quiet for very long. But it usually says Jesus went off to a quiet place to pray, and then a whole lot of people turned up, usually. And that's what happens with my quiet times. It happened this morning. I went up to the room, and I had the Bible open, and by the time I'm just getting to focus, I hear... Dum, dum, dum. I won't tell you which child it was. But it's if it was... There's one child, and if he's doof, 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 it's the other child. And, Dad, what are you doing here? I'm thinking, yeah, I'm here. And, oh, I'm just going to watch the computer. Didn't even say, can I come in and start watching the computer? I'm thinking, there goes my quiet time, you know? Anyway, but, you know, we have this idea of quiet time. But my discipleship, I think my upbringing has sort of taught me that if you do your quiet time, then your time with God, and then you get on with the rest of your life, and that's kind of almost like, you don't really need to think too much now because we've done our quiet time, you know. And the rest of it will just fall into place. And whether I think about God while I'm doing my work or while I'm at play or while I'm doing my chores at house doesn't really matter. It's a split view. And I'm guessing you have those kind of similar kind of... Hi, Colin. I'm guessing you have sort of similar ways of looking at life sometimes. Yeah, I mean, I've heard of you talking about Christian music or Christian books and non-Christian books or Christian charities that you support, you know. We all have these splits in our lives. So what has this got to do with continual prayer? My point is this. If now you may be different to me, maybe you're more spiritually enlightened, but we need to learn from you if you are. But if indeed there are large chunks of our life where for whatever reason we give God no second thought whatsoever, how will we be able to pray continually if we don't even give God a second thought in those times? How will we be able to pray through those times? Does that make sense? I'm wondering, what are you praying even right now? Now we're talking about prayer. Are we praying now? because praying continuously, we need to have some kind of idea that God is there, involved in doing a scan or on a steam train or riding a bike or whatever we're doing that sometimes just gets taken. We get so caught up in that we miss him. Anyway, let's read these verses again. I'll read you again. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." I'll read it again in the New American Standard Bible. I like this translation of this verse. It says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." I like it because there's a lot of use of the word all. There's four uses of all kinds of prayer, all times, all perseverance, all the Lord's people. The implication there is no time when we should not pray. No situation. In every moment, in every activity, we're called to pray, whether we're working, whether we're resting, whether we're with family, particularly when we're with family, when we're with friends, you know, when we're alone, when we're under pressure, when we're relaxing, when we're busy, when we're not busy, when we're in a secular situation, we might call it, or a sacred situation, or a holy situation. In any situation, it's saying, pray. We should pray. And I think, listen to the tone of that, it's not like, you should pray, but it's like, pray, you know, this is a good thing. You know, if I spent, you know, the whole day with Sheila and didn't say anything to her all day, then you would think there's something wrong, you know, but it's like saying, you're with God in all of these things, you know, and even if we went here and we went there and we did this and we did that, if I didn't say anything to her at all day, you know, the different things, she'd probably think, what's wrong with him? Yeah? But you know, we might be busy at one point, and we might be relaxed at one point, and it might be intense at one point, it might be just, but in all things, pray. Enjoy the communication. 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. Pray continuously. Let it be a continual flow. Now, if you read the commentaries on these, like I say, we're very good at explaining what these don't mean. You read the commentaries and what people said about these scriptures, and particularly people who take it seriously, there are sort of schools of thought on how we do this. Some people say to pray regularly or to pray always, to pray continually, is to find regular times in the day and to pray, to make it a discipline, to pray in the morning, to pray at lunchtime, to pray in the evening. If you look at the monastic monks, that they will have their morning prayer, afternoon prayer, evening prayer. Now that seems a hard discipline for us, doesn't it? You know, I don't know about you, but if I can fit in a quiet time of 5 minutes in the morning sometimes, that is good going, you know, and then the kids, and they've got sent to school, and then phone starts going, and that's a hard discipline. That's one way of thinking about it. The other school of thought is even harder, I think, harder in one sense, to say, okay, throughout the whole day, I'm going to pray continually in every situation. I'm just going to be continuing to pray. And I've been through this conversation I had with Ishti, who's a Catholic, he then put me onto some teachers who are Eastern Orthodox. So if you think our leaving the FIC has pushed our boundaries now, so I'm really listening to all kinds of people. And I've just been interested in what and the kind of traditions of prayer in the Eastern Orthodox Church. There's a place, I can't remember where it is now, it's some Eastern Orthodox, they've had continual prayer going for 1,000 years in this one place. You know, and we have 20. We went to Pete Gregg's church in Guildford about a month ago, And yeah, you might know about him. He's a guy who started a movement in this country called, well, it's international now, called 24/7 Prayer. And the idea is you go and there are rooms that they have where someone is praying in that place continually through the day. So you might have an hour slot and you're praying and then somebody comes and takes over. And we're kind of like celebrating this, but I heard these guys saying, well, this is great, but you do realize the need for the Orthodox Church. They've been doing this for over 1,000 years in this one place where continual prayer has been going on. So, you know, maybe we've got something to learn from them. But one of the things is maybe just changing the idea of what we mean by prayer, or expand, not changing, but expanding our understanding of what prayer is. And so in Eastern thinking, they would say that prayer, and it comes to what Daniel picked up, that a lot of our prayers are petitions, which are good things, but it's not just that. And it talks about where prayer is no longer merely asking God for things, no longer a momentary activity that starts and stops, but actually prayer is something where we just say, I'm deliberately bringing myself to stand before God. Say, here I am. To live like he is everywhere. We believe he is everywhere, right? But do we live like that? And actually prayer in this sense is just to say, I'm going to live present with God. So if I were to hang out with Sheila for the whole day, we wouldn't be talking all the time, because then she'd think, because I have, you know, she'd probably just, or maybe I would be saying the same of her, I don't know. But there are times when it's possible where we can just be in each other's company and just be there, but in just being with someone, you are different, aren't you? Yeah? So it's talking of prayer in that kind of sense. And so rather than us thinking of prayer as like, I'm just going to send God an email now. You know, type it out, I'll send it off, and then that'll do until the next time I communicate with him. It's just sort of just being with the Lord in all situations. Continual prayer in this way of thinking is not something we do in our own strength, they would say in the Eastern Church. Their understanding of grace, one of their understandings of grace, is to say that prayer is actually God working in us. There is no way possible that you will consciously be able to pray continually 24/7 hours a day, is there? You know, because we have a job, a busy job, or we have a hobby, or we have grandchildren, or we have something that is going to distract us away in our own strength. But actually, if we say, Lord, I need your grace to be with you each day, I need your help and your work in us. It says in Galatians, not me, but Christ in me. And even starting to think, actually, maybe God can pray in and through me. The Holy Spirit can. You know, there are scriptures that say that Jesus is praying for us. And the Holy Spirit is praying for us. But it's kind of living in that, that actually I'm just going to say, I'm going to allow God to pray in me through the Holy Spirit. When I was away, the last week of my sabbatical, I was in Chichester staying at a friend's house. And I was on my own, which I'd been longing for all sabbatical, and the Philippines wasn't great, but there was just so many people. I just sometimes need a bit of space to be on my own with God. So I had this 4 days when I was just completely on my own, and then I started missing people. So I saw that there was Evensong advertised at Chichester Cathedral, so I went to the service thinking at least I might have human contact here. I might be able to say hello to someone. Have you ever been to Evensong? I don't know. Yeah, it's very traditional and Anglican, and I knew roughly what I was letting myself in for. So I went in, and you sit in the choir stalls. And the only thing that anyone actually said to me face to face was, and it was done in the nicest way, you can't sit there. Because I had managed to sit myself actually where the sopranos were supposed to be sitting. And he said, I'm really sorry, but you can have to move, because that's actually where the choir sits. So I could sit in the choir stalls, but not in the choir stalls. So I went and sat a few seats back, and so it ended up with a choir were in the row in front of me. And what happens, I don't know if this happens in every Evensong, I presume it does, is they sing through some psalms, set beautiful music, really good choir, and you sit there, and you stand up when they sing, and you sit down when they sing, but you don't sing, because actually if you sang it would ruin it, because the choir is just really good. And they sang three psalms. And I was there, and I was thinking, this is bizarre. And actually, the other thing was the congregation, the average age was about 117, the rest of the congregation. I was just like the youngest person by a long, long way. Nobody even looked at me, apart from the guy who told me I was in the wrong place. And I thought, this is not quite fellowship as I know it, because like here, you have, you know, who's tried to leave the King's Church and done it in two, you know. Who knows how to leave the King's Church here without saying goodbye to everybody and it takes half an hour, you know, it's just, we just don't do that. With this didn't happen in this place. And I had this profound experience, though, because I couldn't join in, because I couldn't sing. But I knew the psalms, and the words were there, and the readings as well. But somehow, I felt like I was completely joined in with this. And so there was something about it where I was there, and I was part of it, but at the same time, I was doing nothing. And I suddenly realized what it is when God intercedes for us, when Jesus intercedes for us. Because here are the people singing the songs for me. They're singing the praise for me. They're singing the worship for me. They're reading the words for me. And I'm not doing anything here other than I'm completely involved with it because I'm here with it. Does that make sense? And it spoke to me about this idea that if we're going to continually pray, there must be something in us where we're going to have to say to God, I'm going to let you pray in and through me. Like this. Otherwise, because I can't do this myself, because I'm going to be in a situation, I'm going back to Brian's situation, where, you know, when work gets busy, there's no way you're going to start thinking about, oh, well, I need to pray now. You know, because you're just thinking about 101 things that need to be done. Do I need God's grace to pray in me, continually? Sometimes when I ride my bike or keep on his steam train, I'm sure, you know, you're not thinking about it. You're just enjoying the moment. And so, there's that thinking in the Eastern tradition of prayer continuing. And the final thing is, it's all connected really, is that the idea is that as we're baptized, we enter into God's grace. We enter into a new creation. And we actually enter, we have the opportunity to enter into who humanity was created to be, that is in continual relationship with God. What Adam and Eve do? They were just continually with God, weren't they? When they sinned, then that's when the continual they were taken out of the garden. And so it would have been the case. A bit like my illustration with Sheila, you know, Adam thinks, I need to ask God something. He didn't sort of think, right, I need to go to prayer now. I need to go on my knees and put my hands together, or I need to, however you pray. But he would probably just go, hey, Lord, I wonder if you could, and he would have been there. There would have been that ongoing relationship. And so by God's grace, we're able now through Jesus to pray continually. Rather than think, I think the thing is, and this is the difference between East and West thinking, I think we think of prayer as a work we need to do. I must pray. How many of you feel guilty because you haven't prayed enough? You know, I must pray. And then you stop and think about it, you're actually thinking, well, I'm really saying that God is more pleased with me if I pray more. You have that kind of underlying feeling that if I just pray a little bit more, God will be. But actually, the Eastern, it's all God's grace. You've been given the opportunity to pray. So just use it. Don't feel as though it's something you have to do, but it's something you can do. And therefore, do it. Because like I said, if I spent the whole day with Sheila and didn't say anything, she would think there's something wrong. But God's saying, I've given you, you're here now with me. I am here. I am everywhere with you. And through the baptism in Jesus Christ, you have that complete connection with me. So pray. Continually. You're able to. I feel as though I've said a lot. I could say more about this. There are ways of doing this, and there are techniques. And this prayer that Ishti taught me, the Jesus prayer, which is a simple prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, is something that I've learnt to... I'm learning, rather, to be part of my daily... routine's wrong, because it's just part of who, when I'm just in the moment and I don't know what to pray, or when there are times where I know I can pray, I can just pray that prayer. It's not just a one-line prayer. Sometimes I pray, come Holy Spirit. You know, so I'm not, when, again, we sometimes overcomplicate prayer and think it needs to be right. And as Daniel said, we need to be asking for something. You know, but actually, just in most situations, if you prayed the name of Jesus, or you ask for the Holy Spirit to come, you're probably covered. Yeah? And so that in all of those times, I'm going to have this cup of water. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy in this moment. I'm going to live before you here in this moment. Come, Holy Spirit, I'm going to live before you in this moment. Every day, in every situation, in all times. And I'm starting to grow in it. I can't say that every moment I am living before God. Because but I'm learning. And I found this, as I've set myself towards this discipline, that when I do come to what we traditionally call prayer in our words, I don't know about you, sometimes when I come to pray about things, it sometimes feels like I've come to then move this huge boulder. I'm pushing this great big force, and so that, but then I leave the boulder and I'll come back to that prayer later. And then you come back to it and you push it a bit further and it's like inching it along. But actually, as we start to pray continually, then you realise that it's just, you're coming into a moving, flowing stream. But when you come to pray about big issues like healing or like Reg brought some prayer, pray for this thing going, goodness, what do I pray now? I just start with, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on those children. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on Terry and Sheila, who I know in pain. And then other prayers flow from that. And so it becomes easier to pray with thought as well as subconscious. Am I making sense? I know I'm probably talking, what was he smoking when he was in sabbatical, you're probably thinking. And there is a part of me that feels a bit that way, if I'm honest, because I'm learning this and I'm exploring it. And I just wanted to share it with you because it's exciting to me. It is exciting to me to think that every day and every moment I can be with God. I don't think I realised that before, but I can continue to pray. Now, if you want to find, I could go on. If you want to find out more about this teaching on the Jesus Prayer is fascinating. This Jesus Prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. I'm just scratching the surface with it at the moment myself. But if you want to know more, then let me know and I can point in the right direction, things to read. But I'll just finish with this. I'm thinking, you know, what did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, follow me. And then what did they do? They followed him. And they were living with him 24 hours, 7 days a week. So it was, coming back to my illustration, I was talking about if I were to spend the day with Sheila, but they did that for 3 years. And they would have had conversations with Jesus, or they would have just, everything from, help me, Lord, I'm sinking in the water, to the, what should we have for breakfast, Lord? You know? And they had that continual flow. We are called to be Jesus' disciples. Are we called to be any different in the way how we communicate with God? Sometimes it's just being before God and not saying anything. Sometimes it is asking God to have mercy in that moment. When I say mercy, it's not like, help. It's just like, I need your grace. And sometimes it is like, oh my goodness, there's something I really need to get to grips with here, and we need to really ask you something about. Sometimes it's just giving thanks to God. But rather than occasional messages that you pop off as emails from time to time, but Jesus invites us to live with it, continue with it. And that's where I think this idea of praying ceaselessly comes from. That's where I think the idea of praying in all situations comes from. It's not the work that we do. It's God's given us the grace to be able to do it. But the invitation is take it. Take the opportunity. A challenge, but at the same time, a great opportunity. I'm going to pray and wrap up. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. We need your grace and your help in our lives. There are many things in our lives where we separate ourselves from you or are separate from you only by our inability. And so we pray, bring your Spirit and allow your grace to flow freely in our lives, that we would know you praying in us and through us at times. We would know how to join ourselves with the prayers you are praying and interceding for us. Teach us how to, the ways of just being able to be with you, be present for you, every moment, in all situations, in all ways, in all times. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Teach us how to live with you. Teach us how to sit at your feet and be your word. Not by our words, but by your words.